Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And we know that there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode, tonight I'm still excited and thrilled because we are still in the book of Proverbs, and you know that is the book of wisdom. Even the world uses it. There is so much that they take from King Solomon and incorporate into today's society. Now, of course, we want you to know that the Bible sources that you use are applicable, and we are encouraging you to take out your laptops or your tablets, your Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I'd like to thank you personally, those of you who are out there that have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So I encourage you to continue to give them to me. Okay. As the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, as always, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King David, "The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Taken from Psalms 37, verse 18. So the promise is the inheritance that we will receive from God if we are upright and keep his commandments. God said again, this time through King Solomon, "Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." That's taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. The promise is that we will not be confronted, or maybe we're confronted, but we will not be overtaken by anything that is evil if we use our heart wisely. God said again, this time through Isaiah the prophet, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For if ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 and 12. The promise, my precious brothers and sisters, is that the God's word, regardless, if you adhere to it, shall bring peace and joy into your lives. So again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on God's word and promises? Now, before we go into the lesson, as I always do, I want to reiterate for you, this is a rehearsal. You know the Bible is written in code. And if you don't know, I'm telling you. And that means it is written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is what we are all about, more especially tonight. So now let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs. And we're looking at chapter 23 in Proverbs, and we're going to look at verse 23. And as I read the verse to you, the text or the instruction is probably verbatim, as is normal in the Proverbs, because the way that it has been written, each verse stands on its own, and it is an instruction in itself. So this is the instruction. Buy the truth and sell it not. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Solomon is telling Israel to buy the truth and sell it not. And this is what text says. Verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Now, to give more of an understanding to this, let's go to Psalms. We're going to go to King David. And King David, in Psalms 91, verse 1 through 4, gives us more of an amplification on the significance of this truth. This is what King Solomon said. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. My precious brothers and sisters, truth is what we should be seeking. That is what God is directing all of us to, and he's directing all of us to that through his son. And let's go to the New Testament. We're going to compare and agree, and we're going to see how it is articulated. Jesus himself, John chapter 14, verse 1 through 7, gives us an indication of how important this truth is that we should have. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. But Thomas's apostle said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And listen to what Jesus told him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus told him. So that's how critical truth is. And we should understand that. And this is what it should mean to us in our lives, that knowing and applying God's wisdom and truth is more important to our salvation than man can give us. That is self-explanatory, and it is so pertinent and important, because we have to understand that the truth of God is more important than the truth of man and or the truth of the world. We've now reached our first take a break, and after we come back from the break, we will continue the lesson.
A.D. Williams once said, imagine what 7 billion humans could accomplish if we loved and respected one another. Just imagine. Imagine if there was no greed. Imagine if there was no comparison. If everyone was running their own race, but cheering for all others at the same time. Maybe we'll never see that in our lifetime. But what we all can do is start with ourselves. Start with yourself. Choose to lift others up. Choose to set the example of kindness and integrity, the example of compassion and understanding. There's a quote that says, no matter how educated, talented, rich, or cool you believe you are, how you treat people ultimately tells all. Integrity is everything. It really is. Who you are is far more important than what you have, and it will always be. Who you are is measured by how you make others feel. Be kind to each other. In a world where you can be anything, be kind. Choose to be the change you wish to see in the world. Decide you will not wait for someone else. You will set the example. Be kind. Because you never know how much that person is suffering inside. You never know the difference your words can make, the difference your presence can make, the difference you can make to one human life. Be the reason someone believes in the goodness of humanity. Be the reason someone else decides to make a difference in others. Be the influence you want to see more of. Always do what is right, not what is easy in the moment. Kindness spreads like a virus. When you do good to another, that person does better to those they come in contact with. You really can make a big difference in the world today and every other day. Anne Frank said, in the long run, the sharpest weapon of all is a kind and gentle spirit. No one has ever made themselves great by showing how small another is. Be kind and always build others up to the best of your ability. Treat everyone with the same level of kindness that you would like for yourself. Not because everyone is nice, but because you are. Because karma makes no mistakes. Because it is right. Because you have integrity. Because you want this world to be better when you leave than when you arrive.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to go into the next instruction, which is coupled with the same one we just left, but it is focusing not just on truth, but this time on wisdom, instruction, and understanding. This is what Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says, and it tells us to buy and not to sell wisdom, instruction, and understanding. As it the previous question was on truth. Deuteronomy chapter 4 tells us about that. We want to go and see how Moses rehearsed this to Israel to show you how significant it is to have wisdom and instruction and understanding and to keep it. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 through 9 says. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely, this great nation is wise and knowledgeable and an understanding people about God. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath the statutes and judgments so righteous as all these laws which I set before you this day? My precious brothers and sisters, the concluding thought, only take heed to yourself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life, and you also should teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. My brothers and sisters, wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God is critical to have. And now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how the book of James puts it. And we're going to go to James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 5 through 8. And listen, this is what James says about wisdom. For if you lack wisdom, any man, let him ask of God, for God giveth to him liberally, and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given to him. But listen, my brothers and sisters, but if you ask not in faith, wavering, for a wavering man is like a wave of the sea driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So that is what happens when you are not asking for the correct wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If you're asking for the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of man, you are not in line with God's commandment, and that is to ask for the wisdom of God. And, of course, we know that the wisdom of God is focused on soul salvation, and this is what we should understand from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 24 this time, and we're going to look at two different verses. And, of course, the verse and the instruction are virtually the same. This is the instruction. Be thou not envious against evil men. My brothers and sisters listening out there, we should discount them. You hear what I'm saying? We should not fret over them. And this is what Solomon said in verse 1 of chapter 24. Be thou envious, be thou not envious against men, neither to desire to be with them, and against evil men. And verse 19 completes the thought. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. This is critical for us to note, my brothers and sisters. In fact, let's go to King David, and he's going to amplify this in Psalms 37, verse 1 through 8, and going to tell you why. Listen to what King Solomon or King David said in verse 1 through 8 of Psalms 37, not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. This is why we trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, trusting in the Lord and doing good, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Also rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Listen, my brothers and sisters, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for the evildoer shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. My precious brothers and sisters, that's why it's so critical not to be envious of the things that you see around you. That does not mean that you cannot aspire to become better than who you are in this present time. But don't be envious, because envy is only going to cause you demise. And let us go to our New Testament compliment and see how it compares and agrees. We're going to go to the book of Revelations. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelations chapter 22, and we're going to see how verse 7 through 12 gives us a sampling or an indication of the same. This is what the Spirit speaks to the church, and this is what it says. Chapter 22 of Revelations, beginning at verse 7. Behold, I come quickly, saith the Lord God Almighty. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is key. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to the work it shall be. Now that's telling us, my brothers and sisters, that we do not want to be envious over anyone. Now let's go to our second break, and then we'll return and continue with the lesson.
A man hit a target he could not see? That's a pretty good question. Here's another one. How can you hit a target you do not have? Have you got one? Are you a meaningful specific, or are you a wandering generality? People today complain of lack of time. It's not lack of time that's the problem, it's the lack of direction. Are you a wandering generality, or are you a meaningful specific? Are you going to work tomorrow because that's what you did yesterday? If that's the reason you're going tomorrow, you won't be as good tomorrow as you were yesterday, because you're 2 days older and no closer to the goal you do not have. Now I got sense enough to know that some of those airplanes are coming down faster than they're going up. It's dangerous for that plane to fly. You see in the newspapers where the ships leave the harbor and you see where some of them sink. It's dangerous for the ships to be on the ocean. And yet the engineers tell me that it's more dangerous for that plane to stay on the ground. That it will rust out faster than it will wear out up into the heavens. They tell me that that ship will collect more barnacles in the harbor and become unseaworthy faster than it will sailing the high seas. Besides, planes are built for flying. Ships are built for sailing. Houses are built for living. And man, too, was built for purpose. He was designed for accomplishment. He's engineered for success. He's endowed with the seeds of greatness. And the greatest danger we as human beings have is when we do not do anything at all. And I make this...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this last instruction. Be thou not envious against evil men. We already know what the Old Testament, Solomon said about it, and we also compared and agreed to what the book of Revelation said about it. And what we want to realize and take from this instruction is that evil is condemnation with God. It will not give you eternal life. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? It is condemnation with God. Evil will not give you eternal life. And that is the only reason that we were put into existence, was to experience life everlasting. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Back to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verse 3 and verse 4 in Proverbs chapter 24. And what I want you to do is keep this particular instruction in mind as I read the scripture text to you. Through wisdom is the house built. Wisdom is key, my brothers and sisters. That is what Solomon thrived on. That is what Solomon wrote about constantly. And in this particular instruction, we're looking at wisdom as the house builder. And this is what Solomon said about it. Verse 3 and 4. Through wisdom is the house built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall its chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That is so important. And of course, we're talking about the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man, not the wisdom of the world. This is why it is so critical, because we're talking about everlasting life. The wisdom of man will not give you that. The wisdom of the world will not give you that. Only the wisdom of God. And to substantiate that, we're going to go to Psalms, and we're going to look at what King David said, Solomon's father, concerning this. We're looking at Psalms 111, and we're going to start with verse 2 through 4. Listen to how this connects, and this is how God works. The works of the Lord, that means his wisdom, are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work, meaning his wisdom, is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works, his wisdom, to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Then he will go to 7:8, and this is what it says. The works are wisdom of his hands, are verity and judgment. All of his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. And verse 10 completes the thought. Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of God's wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. If you keep God's commandments, you will understand that the fear of the Lord is the door to wisdom. And that is so significant to know. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and let's see how Jesus puts this in his instruction to us, more especially today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 24 through 27. And listen to how Jesus puts it. Jesus says, listen, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him unto a wise man that has wisdom, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That's how critical that wisdom is, building your house. Verse 26, he continues, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand, not the wisdom of God, but maybe the wisdom of man. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. My precious brothers and sisters, we need to understand that the wisdom of God is critical to application in this world for salvation. And with this is what it means. This is what it should mean to us spiritually, that without the wisdom of God, salvation cannot be achieved. There is no salvation without the wisdom of God. Okay, let's go back now to Psalms or Proverbs 24 again. We're going to look at verse 5, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you, and it's going to be verbatim, and this is, again, focusing on wisdom. Listen, a wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increases in strength. And this is deceptive, my brothers and sisters, if you take it erroneously, meaning that we're talking about the wisdom of God makes you strong. And the knowledge of God will increase your strength, not for man, not for the world, but for salvation. And this is what Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5 says. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. And let's go to Psalms 19, and we're going to see how King David, again, Solomon's father, gave us a better understanding or gave us a broader understanding of this wisdom of God, because this is not talking about man's wisdom. Listen, this is what Psalms 19, verse 1 says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That's the wisdom of God, not of man, not of the world. And then verse 7 through 11 adds to that, and it says, the law of the Lord, not of man, not of the world, is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimony of the Lord, not of man, not of the world, is sure, making wise the simple. And the statutes of the Lord, not of man, not of the world, are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandments of the Lord, again, not of man, not of the world, is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord, again, not of man, not of the world, is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord, again, not of man, not of the world, are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold. Yea, they are much finer than gold, sweeter as honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, listen, my brothers and sisters, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. My precious brothers and sisters, that is telling us that it's the wisdom of God that's going to get the job done. Anything less is not going to give you the salvation you need. And I'll even go as far as to tell you that you will not have a successful life this side of eternity without tapping those sources. Because we know that Jesus says, what profit has a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And what would a man give for his soul? So we know that what we need is that wisdom of God. Now let's go. We're going to look at our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and I see that we're at our next break. Let's take that break, and then we will continue.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In this verse, Jesus commanded his disciples and us to be wise as serpents. The word wise is the Greek word which means prudent, careful, cunning, discerning, thoughtful, intelligent, or sensible. This word perfectly depicts the behavior and actions of the snakes. They are very careful, discerning, intelligent, and prudent in how they act. It is fact that Jesus told us that we need to be as wise as serpents. There's obviously something Jesus wanted us to learn from the behavior of snakes. If you're squeamish about serpents and snakes, stay with me for the next moment so you can get the full impact of what Jesus was telling us. Remember, Jesus is the one who chose to use a serpent to make this point. So let's consider the behavior of serpents for a moment and see how this relates to us being wise in the way we live our lives. First, when serpents move into a new territory, they don't announce their presence. Instead, they lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment. As snakes evaluate a new situation, they see what kind of opportunities are in the area. They identify places of shelter. They find hiding places to protect themselves from the attack. They observe and see where they can find the easiest prey. When all these facts are assimilated, the serpent is ready to act, and Jesus said there is wisdom in a serpent's behavior from which we need to learn. Lesson: when God tells you or me to do something new, it is wisdom for us to move carefully into that new phase of our lives. A common mistake is to act too fast. Acting hastily before all the facts are gathered and assimilated can lead us to make erroneous decisions. In fact, one serious mistake can cause us to lose an opportunity altogether. It's better to lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment for a while, learning from the sights and the facts we observe. Second, serpents are wise enough to know when to seize the moment and strike. Knowing when to act is as important as knowing when to lay low. When prey passes before a serpent, that serpent knows it's time to strike. If the snake waits too long, the opportunity will pass, and the prey will reach an irretrievable position. Lesson: when it's time to act, put your fears and emotions aside and seize the moment. I have seen so many people pray and pray for divine opportunity to come to them. They wait for that golden moment to come, and at last, it does. A great door of opportunity stands directly in front of them. It's time to act, but rather than seize the moment and walk through that door, they pause just a little bit longer. God brought them exactly what they had been waiting for, but because they paused, they lost the opportunity. When they finally got around to saying yes, it was too late. You and I are not brilliant enough to figure out the right timing for everything by our own logic. So be very careful not to move too fast, and be careful also not to delay when the time is right to act. Open your heart to the Spirit of God, and let Him begin to teach you when to lay low and when to strike. Thanks for watching this video.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete this thought. The instruction again is: a wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increases strength. And this is what the New Testament is telling us about it. Paul is referring to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's telling the Corinthians this with verse 21 through 24. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We can see from this that Paul is telling the Corinthians that it's the wisdom of God, the wisdom of man, not the wisdom of the world, that causes or gives salvation. And this is in God's power, and it is foolishness to the Greeks, because they're looking for something physical. And it's a stumbling block for the Jews because the Jews are still looking for a Messiah. And they don't realize, and it's on purpose that they don't realize that Jesus the Christ, one of their own, who where the Messiah is drawn for them, from the house of David, from the tribe of Judah, is the legitimate Messiah. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that today Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has the power of heaven and earth at his disposal exclusively. And that is something that we must realize, that eternal life only comes through responding and believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cited it himself in John chapter 17, verse 2 and 3, when he says, praying to the Father that all power over all flesh has been given to me to give eternal life to as many as I will. And this is eternal life, to know God the Father and to know his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So that is critical for us to realize, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go on to the next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at another verse, verse 9. It's going to be almost verbatim, the instruction with the scripture text. And this is the instruction: the thought of foolishness is sin. My precious brothers and sisters, it is beyond our comprehension, the expansiveness of sin. And how simple Solomon put it, that the thought of foolishness is sin. That is as simple as it can be put. Now, let's see how David, his father, put it, amplifying it so we can understand it maybe a little better. Let's look at Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms 14, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 5. And this is why it is so simple yet complex. Listen to what David says. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. My brothers and sisters out there, that is simplicity at its best, and that is critical simplicity, because without believing that there is a God, you are committing the sin of foolishness. Continuing with what David is saying, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all altogether become filthy. There is none that does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear. For God is in the generation of the righteous. My precious brothers and sisters, that is sin. Disobedience against God is sin. And not believing that there is a God is sin. How simply plain can it get? Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how overwhelming this is to us. We're going to look at two instances. We're going to look at Paul talking to the Romans in chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. This is what Paul says concerning that, and I'm overreaching some, because Paul, I'm like in the news media, they call it a sound bite. What I'm doing is taking text, or I'm taking text out of context, but it is proof that sin is so simple that the thought of it or the thought of disobedience against God incorporates or causes us to sin. Listen to what Paul said about it in Romans chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. Listen, this is what Paul said. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. As he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And what I'm trying to indicate, my brothers and sisters out there, that even though this is taken out of context, we're talking about not believing. If you don't believe that God is, that's sin to you. That's sin to me. And now I see we're at our last break. Let's take it, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
You're not supposed to know. You're not supposed to know. Life is a mystery. If you take away the mystery and everything was certain, you wouldn't need faith.
Like, I stand on this stage before you, and to be honest, I never thought I would be doing this. They put me in public speaking in college. I dropped the class on the second day. I despised it. As I was walking out, I'll never forget, I told my buddy, I said, I'd never be needing that.
Faith functions best when you don't know. So God often puts us in positions where we don't know to destabilize us from relying too much on what we know.
Yeah.
Like a trainer who starts you out, and he starts you out on a weight machine, okay? And then he puts you on a bench and he gives you free weights because now it's less stable. The less stable it is, the more muscles you build. Finally, he puts you on a ball where everything's unstable. And when he puts you on the ball, he's building up your core. So the more unstable your life becomes, the more you have to go inside yourself to stabilize yourself. You're strong enough to withstand instability.
Yeah.
And if you knew everything, you'd have no room for faith, for discovery, for innovation, because creativity comes in uncertainty. It comes in uncertainty, in the middle of chaos, because after a while, anytime you know too much, you stop living your best self.
And the beauty of life is when God takes a situation or a circumstance and he puts you on a path that you never imagined, and your life begins to flourish and serve as a blessing to a lot of people. But more times than not, you hit extreme chaos or extreme opposition on the way to getting to that point. Right? Like you think about the 9/11 incident. I travel a lot. Right. Senseless act. A lot of people lost their lives. Right? And I remember reading an article, and in this article it spoke about the other side of the situation. And it talked about that morning, it was a wife and a husband, and they had a daughter, right? And the wife went to the husband, and she said, can you please take our daughter to kindergarten this morning? And the husband said, I really got some meetings I need to be at in that building. And the wife said, can you please do it? He said, I really got some meetings I need to be at. And the wife asked him one more time, can you please? He said, all right, I'll do it. Guy ends up taking a whole day off, ends up sparing his life. One gentleman on the New Jersey Turnpike, accident happened. He's frustrated. He's mad. He can't get to work. Accident ended up sparing his life. One gentleman got a new pair of shoes that day. He's walking. He gets a blister on his foot. He's going back home to change his shoes. He gets there, end up sparing his life. One guy went to a donut and coffee shop, went to get some donuts and coffee. As he's coming out of the shop, somebody spilled some coffee on his shirt, went home to change his shirt, ended up sparing his life. The other side. Right, when the opposition happens and you step back in the perspective that you have about it, that's why I love Romans 8:28 when it says, and we know, it starts the verse off with a heavy level of conviction. It says, and we know that all things work to the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his will and his purpose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at the thought of foolishness is sin. And this is simply put by Solomon, and we've read how simple it can be, but how overwhelming it is, because it impacts us today. And we read where in Romans, Paul says that if you do not do everything by faith, believing in God, then that is sin. But if you don't believe in God, then that is sin. How simply put is that? Now we're going to go to the book of James, and this is how James even, you might say, expands upon it, because it's not even talking about God per se. But listen to what James says in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17. James says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So that it even expands upon it. So you don't have to put God in the equation. If you know that you're supposed to be doing this because it is good and you do not do it, James says that's sin. Wow. That's something that we should realize that is significant. And that is our major number one culprit. There is a number of enemies that confronts us, that haunts us, my precious brothers and sisters. Sin is number one, and that is simply disobedience against God. And we have to realize the difference. Sin against God is different than sin against man. You have to understand that, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about sin against God. That's critical to your soul's salvation. Sin against man has nothing to do with your salvation. And that's why I bring it up. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must be very careful about our thoughts. Because Jesus said, we will be held accountable for every idle word spoken. For by our words we are justified, and by our words we are condemned. Wow, that's something we need to take note of. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 10. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. And we also, as I read the text, the text, scripture text is almost identical to it. And this is what I want you to pay attention to. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That is so important, my brothers and sisters. And that's why so many become despondent, and why there is an epidemic of suicides today in our society, because we become faint and we lose our strength and we no longer want to live. Listen to what Solomon said about it in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And we're going to go and see how in Psalms 27, how King David, Solomon's father, exemplified this. In fact, I'll tell you, King Solomon developed a lot of his proverbs from what his daddy taught him. And we can tie in, and that's one reason I'm using so many Psalms today, because you can see how they closely relate. This is Psalms 27, and it's verse 11 through 14. And listen to what King David said. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Sin being number one. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me and such as breathe out cruelty. Listen, my brothers and sisters, about being weak. David says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That is why some are committing suicide, because they have not seen that goodness, because they do not believe in the Lord. Verse 14 completes the thought. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart, I say, on the Lord. My precious brothers and sisters, that is superlative advice. But of course, if you're not aware, if you do not believe that there is a God, you do not have access to this knowledge that increases your strength, and you will be weakened because of it. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees. This is what Paul said about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to see how we today understand it through Paul's writing. In verse 12 through 19, this is what Paul says. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? This is significant to why some faint. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. We have to realize that if the Bible is not giving us the truth, then we are the most miserable on the face of the earth. Listen to what verse 14 continues to say, or verse 15. Yea, and if we found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not, for if the dead raised not, then is not Christ raised? Listen, my brothers and sisters, and if Christ be raised not, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that tells us that it is significant that we believe that there is a God, and that his son, Jesus Christ, is the one that saves us from our condemnation. And verse 58, he stresses in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is critical. But of course, we only know that if we are reading and studying Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that when we suffer, we must suffer as Christians, and Christian principles will strengthen us, the gifts and fruits of the Spirit. And that is how we overcome the adversity and the faintness. So that was our last lesson for this evening. In behalf of our the host and I, we would like to continue to thank you for participating and blessing us with your audience.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.